Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, rolling on with Fast Track. I'm going to throw that one out there right now. They canceled the National Spelling Bee today, John. Did they do the right thing, yes or no?
Well, originally I thought, why wouldn't they just do it online? And Lindsay came up with it in one word, why they canceled it. Cheating.
Cheating.
You couldn't prove somebody wasn't cheating. So, they did the right thing. Was that heads, they did the right thing? Tails, they did the wrong thing?
Yes.
Heads, they did the right thing.
Heads, they did the right thing.
Yeah, cheating. I wouldn't have even thought of that unless Lindsay had brought it up. All right, fun.
Fast Track.
All right, so this is going to require all four of us. I was going to tip you, and then I decided I'm not. I'm just going to make you do it. What pops into your head. Peter Burns, who hosts some radio shows for ESPN in Bristol, came up with a fun bit this weekend.
He did
an Entourage draft. So let's try this. We're going to do a snake draft. Here's the order. Mason, Ireland, Lindsay, Funchess. And then it reverses, so Funch gets two picks. We are each drafting a four-person entourage. These are four people who will go with you whenever you go out in public to eat, to a game, to dinner. They're your entourage. It can be any four people. They have to be alive. No picking anyone who passed away.
Oh, wow.
Mace, you get the first pick. It can be anybody who's alive. That these are going to be. Now, pretend the pandemic is over. So these, like, when you go out, when you go to Ram games, when you go to restaurants, when whatever you're doing, you go for breakfast. This is your, you got five people at the table. You're one of the five. You have a four-person entourage. You get first pick. Go.
Okay, I am going to take a weird one. By the way, this is weird because you can't say, like, President Obama. President Obama,
yes, you can.
Not going to be a part. He's not. What's he going to do for?
No, go ahead. You can do it. You can take, if you want to take him, take him. But here's the problem. For example, if you take President Obama, then you got the Secret Service with you all the time. All the time.
I'll take Oprah. She will get me in every door.
That's a good pick. I have the second pick. I'm going to take a guy who I actually know a little bit. I played golf with him, who to me is the epitome of cool. I'm taking Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, nice.
All right, Lindsay, you get the third pick.
LeBron, no question.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Funch, you get two.
I'm going to go with Eddie Murphy and Kevin Hart.
Oh, so you're going
I want
for
the funny. I want the funny.
Yeah. You're going funny.
Okay, Lindsay, back to you.
Joe Rogan.
Good one. Okay. I'm going to go. I'm taking this person early, but I think he'd be really funny and he would make the group young and he's a great golfer. And so is Sam. So I have three guys who I can golf with. I'm taking Justin Timberlake.
Oh, that's a good pick.
All right, Mace, you get two.
He just seems like he'd be a fun guy to hang with.
Yeah. You get two,
okay.
Mace.
I am going to take, again, this is an entourage, so I'm thinking people that will be of service to me.
And that will be out with you, yeah.
I will take, I want a tech guy. So I'm going to take Tim Cook from Apple.
Okay, and then you get another pick.
And I will take Martha Stewart to cook for me.
Okay. I also thought of the cooking thing, but just because I think it would be, I've already got Sam Jackson and Timberlake.
Yep.
Just to see who would show up and what perks we would get because of it, I'm taking DiCaprio.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay. Lindsay, your pick.
I'm going to go with probably one of the most interesting people, I think, in the world to me. And it seems like he'd be a lot of fun, The Rock.
Oh, great pick.
The Rock would be great.
Great pick. Funch, you get your third pick and your last pick. You get two. So far, you have Eddie Murphy and Kevin Hart.
I think I'm going to go with Shaq. More funny.
Great pick.
And then this is going to be a controversial pick. Floyd Mayweather. Because he can cover all the bills.
He's fun.
Oh, yeah. He's money. Yeah, he's money. Okay, Lindsay, your final pick of your entourage. So far, you have LeBron, Joe Rogan, and Chris Rock.
Not Chris Rock. The Rock.
The Rock. Thank you. Yeah. Although Chris Rock would be fun. You took The Rock.
I think my last pick, since I would like to have a lady in my entourage.
Don't take my pick. Oh, my God. I'm going to be so mad if
Beyonce.
You take okay, good. Whew. That's a fun one.
Beyonce seemed like she'd be a pain in the ass.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, but and then I could be a pain in the ass with her, and people would blame her and not me.
No, I see through you, Mace. You're just trying to pick another fight with the beehive. okay. My entourage, so Lindsay, your entourage is complete. It's LeBron, Joe Rogan, The Rock, and Beyonce. That is a very, very strong entourage. All right. My fourth and final pick is Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who I find super funny. So mine ends with Sam Jackson, Justin Timberlake, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Mace, you now have one more pick. You have Oprah, Tim Cook, Martha Stewart, and who?
George Clooney.
Okay, that kind of saves you, Mason, because your group was looking very old and stodgy.
Well, I still went old.
Yeah, matter of fact, I'm pretty sure every person in your group is older than you.
Yeah, you're right.
Youngest millennial like you are, that was a surprise. All right, I finish with Sam Jackson, Justin Timberlake, DiCaprio, and Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Lindsay finishes with LeBron, Joe Rogan, The Rock, and Beyonce. Funch finishes with Eddie Murphy, Kevin Hart, Shaq, and Floyd Mayweather. All right, other than your own, who picked the best entourage? Funch, other than your own, if you had to steal one of the other three, who you take?
I think I might go with yours because of DiCaprio. I want to party with him.
Lindsay, if you got to take one of the other three, who are you taking?
I would definitely take Funches.
You'd take Eddie Murphy, Kevin Hart, Shaq, and Floyd Mayweather.
Yep.
Mace, if you had to take one of the other three, who would you take?
I would take Funches. I think Funches' entourage sounds like a blast.
I would take Lindsay's. I think it's the most diverse and fun, and I think it'd be like LeBron, Rogan, The Rock, and Beyonce. And the one thing, Lindsay, about your group is I would never have to pick up a dinner check. Your group just loaded. I mean, that's pretty much an all-billionaire entourage.
And you'd get in everywhere you want.
Right, right.
Yeah, you would.
Right. All right, Funch.
All right, Funch.
Fast Track.
A Virginia family is being praised for their extraordinary honesty after they found and returned $1 million in cash. Earlier this week, schoolteacher Emily Shantz and her family had been out on a weekend drive. They pulled over to the side of the road, seeing two bags. Assuming it was trash, they grabbed the two bags and they threw them in the trunk. It was only later that the Shantzes opened their sacks and found dozens of plastic packages filled with stacks of cash. Rather than keeping the money for themselves, Emily and her husband turned it all into the police with the hopes of teaching their sons a valuable lesson in honesty. Are the Shantzes really dumb or are they really kind? Isn't that the kind of money that would actually change your life?
It is, and we had a similar question a few months ago in the show, and I believe I'm the only one who answered this way, and I will answer it this way again. I would do exactly what the Shantzes did. I couldn't live with myself. I would be, I believe in karma. I would be overwhelmed with karma guilt. I could not hold on to the money. I would immediately take it to the police, and I would not keep a penny of it. Mace,
it's drug money,
answer.
John. A bag of $1 million is drug money. I would keep it.
Really? Lindsay, what are you doing?
I would keep it, too, for the same reason, because why in the world else would anyone be traveling around with that much cash? Can't possibly
Fine.
Be legal.
It's drug
Fine.
Money.
I think I would return $800,000 back.
So you would keep $200,000?
Yeah. It won't go missing.
You know who you are? You're Tyrese and Paul Walker at the end of that Fast and Furious
movie. It's totally true. By the way, aren't there a lot of stories about bags of cash that wind up being left around? If you listen to
Fast Track,
this comes up like every couple of months. There are bags of cash being left all over the place. Where is mine?
I feel like it's like once a month that we hear these type of stories.
That's change your life money.
Yeah, but you would. I would be overwhelmed with guilt. I couldn't keep it.
Yeah, I would feel no guilt whatsoever. I would have to launder it.
How would you launder it?
Well, the cliche would be car wash.
In The Sopranos, waste management business.
Correct. Bada bing. A cash business. No, I think I would probably just spend it a little bit at a time. It would last me a lifetime, but I would spend it a little bit at a time. I wouldn't actually have to launder it if I just spent it myself.
Would you put it in the bank?
No, I would dig a hole underneath my bed. Once you put it in a bank, you got to pay taxes on it. You can't deposit $1 million in the bank without it being accounted for. You would wind up paying taxes on it as income.
Couldn't you put it in a safety deposit box?
You could put it in a safety deposit box, yes. That's something that you could do. But you couldn't deposit it in a bank. Otherwise, you would have to account for that money with the Internal Revenue Service. So, yeah, safety deposit box, good idea. Safe, good idea. Behind a picture on my wall, good idea. But I would not, I wouldn't want to pay taxes on it either. Boy, I've actually thought this through.
I'd be paying cash for everything for a very long time.
That's what I would do too, Lindsay. I think you've got the right idea. Right idea. All right, Funch.
Fast Track.
All right, Mace. During the pandemic, actor John Krasinski came up with a really popular bit he's been doing over the internet. He put together a news set, like Weekend Update, and once a week he would bring us some good news. He even called it the SGN Network for some good news. He was thanking first responders during virtual graduations, making people feel better by connecting them with celebrities. It was really creative. But last week, Krasinski sold SGN to CBS Viacom, who will now take it over, produce the show without him as the host. He'll remain executive producer. Some people are now calling Krasinski a sellout, that he took something pure and genuine and let the world of TV take it over. Is Krasinski a sellout?
I would say he didn't sell out. He bought in. I am just amazed what a genius idea that was. And who knows how much money he got for it, but he deserves it for coming up with a very, very cool idea at a really difficult time. No, John Krasinski is a genius. He's a great filmmaker. He's a great actor. Anybody that's ever seen The Quiet Place, great, great film director. No, this was genius, and I don't blame him for selling it.
By the way, I completely agree with you. I'm embarrassed for the people that are accusing him of being a sellout. And he just doesn't have time to do this. He came out, he was on Rainn Wilson's podcast yesterday. They were together on The Office. And he was explaining that he's going back to doing, he plays Jack Ryan on one of those either Amazon or Netflix shows. And he's going back to that. He's got kids of his own. He's married to Emily Blunt, the actress. And these, I don't know if you watched any of these SGNs.
No.
They were brilliant. Like, he did a thing where he would encourage people to email him with stories of how they were managing quarantine. And he would get an email from somebody that said, "My daughter's favorite show is Hamilton. We saved up a whole bunch of money to fly to New York and go see Hamilton, and we were supposed to be going this week, and she's devastated, and I don't know what to do about it." And Krasinski then zooms with this little girl, says, you know, she's like 10 or 11, says, "Hey, I heard you were going to go see Hamilton." She goes, "Yeah, it's my favorite show, and I know everything about it, but I've never seen it in person." And then miraculously, out of nowhere on the Zoom call, Lin-Manuel Miranda pops in.
Yep.
And goes, "Hey, by the way, when we go back up and running, we're going to have you up to do the show. Matter of fact, let me give you a little preview. And then the whole cast of Hamilton pops into the Zoom and starts singing to her.
Wow.
Another time he had first responders in Boston who had literally been up all night. Like he said, can you get a computer into the break room where they go after their shift? So they just got done with a 24-hour shift. And he said, hey, you guys, I grew up back there. I'm a Boston fan. I heard you guys are all Red Sox fans. I want to introduce you to somebody. And David Ortiz pops in and gives all these nurses, there are four or five of them, Red Sox season tickets for life.
Wow.
For helping people through the pandemic. I mean, he was just, it was so good and so smart and so, like, feel good to watch. He deserves all the money and success he's getting from this. And I hope whoever takes it over doesn't ruin it, because it's a really good idea.
I wonder if CBS is going to put it on regular TV.
They're going to try. They're going to try and, I think, like, make a show out of it. And
it's a good idea. It's a good idea. It's a great concept. And by the way, he did something with his downtime. That's everybody's dream. To have done something with your downtime is impressive. All right, coming up next for you, more Fast Track. Lindsay's got a question. Funch has got a question. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track. And Lindsay, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, so a California man is seeking to raise money for an animal shelter by doing something completely ridiculous, and that is holding a wedding ceremony to marry his cat. According to UPI, Scott Perry adopted his cat, Olivia, from a Los Angeles, it's the Los Angeles Best Friends Animal Sanctuary in 2015, and she's been his constant companion. And he said during the past 2 months of COVID-19 quarantine, it inspired him to plan a wedding to his pet, complete with a Zola page, which is like basically a wedding, you know, one of those wedding things like the Knot, where you can share all of your wedding pictures and everything, and a registry that is actually quite genius because it's just a fundraiser for the Best Friends Animal Sanctuary. Perry said the wedding will be live streamed this Saturday on his Instagram page, and he's hoping to raise $5,000 for the shelter. So I know this is a super weird idea, but at the end of the day, he's doing it all for the sake of raising money for the animal sanctuary. And I wanted to ask you guys, which charity or foundation would you go to great lengths and maybe even do something completely ridiculous and weird to raise money for?
Well, for me, it would probably be autism related, just because I have a son that's on the spectrum. But I could be convinced to support a lot of worthwhile charities. Michael Thompson has a theory that you have to be really careful when you support a charity that they're on the up and up, because he says a lot of charities, you never know where the money actually goes. So like his foundation, the Thompson Family Foundation, they always follow the money to the very end. But make sure you're involved with more charities than I am. What would you like put at the top of the list?
It would be easy for me because I have a scholarship through the National Lesbian and Gay Journalism Association. So I would put that money directly towards helping an LGBTQ kid go through college or help pay for his college. So that would be mine.
Lindsay, what would yours be?
Mine would probably be for animal rescue, maybe like Karma Rescue, because that's an animal rescue that I've worked with a lot and have dealt with a lot, and they're great there. Would either of you guys marry, like quote unquote marry, or do something crazy, like have this phony marriage wedding celebration with one of your pets if it meant that you could raise that much money for a charity?
Have you ever heard the expression, Lindsay, a bridge too far?
Yeah.
Even if it meant raising money for charity, John.
Yeah, that's a bridge too far. I'm not marrying a cat.
What about Reagan?
Mason.
What about Reagan? Would you marry Reagan?
Hell no. Are you, Mason, are you marrying a cat?
No, I would marry my small dog, Fredo. It would be a gay wedding.
I think it'd be adorable.
Yes.
I don't think you would raise any money.
I think
Fredo's pretty damn cute.
What about Sophie?
Sophie is an older lady. I think she's past
she wants
marriage.
To be single.
Past marriage age.
She's over it.
All right, Funch.
Fast Track.
It's to you.
All right. We talked about the spelling bee earlier. Now the 124th edition of the Boston Marathon has been officially scrapped in exchange for a virtual race. Now, virtual the race. Boston Athletic Association made the call to go virtual after Mayor Martin Walsh canceled the in-person race, which was rescheduled for September 14th. It was originally scheduled for 420, April 20th. Decision marks the first time the race has been ever canceled. Now, here's how the virtual race is going to work. Runners can get in their 26.2 miles between September 7th and the 14th and still get their medal if they provide proof that they completed a race within 6 hours. Now, is this a good way to get this in, or should they just scrap it until next year? And could the integrity of the race still be intact with this virtual race?
Well, there won't be any integrity. There won't be a winner and a loser because there's no way to verify times and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, there will be a winner. Yeah, according to them, yeah.
How will there be a winner? No, nobody will...
Whoever has the best time and ran it from September 7th to 14th under 6 hours with the best time, they're the winner.
But how do they know? How do they know I'm not cheating?
Now, that's what I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think the race will have any integrity. I think it's a nice idea to extend the Boston Marathon and let you do it on your own time and Zoom do the race and be part of it that way. But I don't think it'll have any integrity. Could there be any more likely place for transmission of the virus than the starting spot on a marathon? Everybody is literally on top of each other in that zone. So
plus everyone's from everywhere too at those races.
Yeah, from
right.
All over
Fudge,
the world.
I think I just got to the bottom of why they're doing a virtual race.
Why is that?
Registration costs $205 for U.S. residents and $255 for international residents.
Need to keep that money flowing.
Are thousands of runners. So Mace, don't you think this is a crutch to protect the gate?
Oh, no question. No question. I'm sure the Boston Marathon is a nonprofit, and they would probably struggle without the income from a race. So, yeah, it's a nice idea. We're all reinventing the way we do all kinds of stuff right now. So,
I'm not sure it is a nonprofit. It is, the main sponsor of it is John Hancock Financial Services.
So it's not a nonprofit.
And they give away over $830,000 to top finishers in the overall masters and wheelchair divisions. So I think it's like a race for profit.
For profit.
I mean, shouldn't they just scrap it then? I know they want to make their money, but there's going to be no clear-cut winner.
Yeah, that's weird.
No, I mean, but it's still a totally cool thing to go out and do and encourage people to go out and run. I think it's totally good. You're not going to be able to say, I could claim I ran the race in any time at all. So there's no way to have an actual winner. But I do think going out and running on your own isn't a bad thing, and encouraging people to do that isn't a bad thing. Training for a marathon, getting ready for a marathon, I totally get it. I think that's healthy and positive, and I guess somebody will make some money from it.
Well, because people that run train in this year round. And it's hard to get in. Like, they don't take everybody. You have to get a decent time before you can get into the Boston Marathon.
My friend Sue Kalinske did the LA Marathon this last year, and she has a technique. She runs for 2 minutes, walks for 1 minute. Runs for 2 minutes, walks for 1 minute.
Well, couldn't we do that?
You know, I've said the same thing to her. I would argue that you're not actually running the marathon, but that's an actual technique that people do use.
What was her time?
Not terrible. Not terrible. Better than I thought. I don't remember the
less than 6 hours?
Less than six
wow.
hours. Better than I thought. Run for 2 minutes, walk for a minute. It seems to me that you're just sort of walking the marathon, but it worked for her, and she was able to get through it. Coming up next for you, I got a question. We'll do Mystery Voice with John and Lindsay coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track and Funch. It's to me.
Fast Track.
All right. So we're going to do a little Mystery Voice. This is John versus Lindsay. And Lindsay has been on a winning streak.
Yeah, yesterday she won everything.
She won every single game we played. So, Lindsay, your streak is on the line. I think it is a 4-game streak. I don't know if anybody's ever had a 5-game streak. That would be
yes, so that would be very impressive.
Yeah. So I will play you a voice. Your name is your buzzer. ring in when you think you know who it is. Here is mystery voice number one.
A little bit of both. I mean, I have a little bit of a temper, but it's, you know, a useless temper. Doesn't accomplish anything generally. It's just a lot of ranting and raving and nothing. But so David probably saw that and put it into the character.
I'm not John.
John.
That is James Gandolfini.
That is James Gandolfini. Very, very good pull. All right. John is up 1-0. Lindsay, did you watch The Sopranos? Would you have ever gotten that?
I do, but like I just couldn't put my finger on it.
He was actually about to say as Tony Soprano, so it was going to be given away. All right, here is mystery voice number two.
Whoa, Macaulay Culkin looks worse than I thought.
John. That's Will Ferrell.
No, it is not. Lindsay, you got this all to yourself. Started for you.
Macaulay Culkin looks worse than I thought. You know, last year we did Bieber, and now it's Rob Lowe. Who's next? Flo the progressive lady?
I have no idea so far.
For taking time away from waiting for Sandler to write Grown Ups 3 to be here. David Spade's assistant once tried to kill him in his sleep, and the world was shocked to find out you could afford an assistant.
I don't even know who this is.
All right, that's it. It's Pete Robert Davidson. Yeah. Pete Davidson is the correct answer.
From SNL.
SNL. All right, it is still John 1-0. Here is mystery voice number three.
Well, the big thing is kind of sit back and
John.
Wait.
I think John. That's Bob Nightingale.
That's Bob Nightingale for a 2-0 lead.
Good old Bob. This is a hard one.
Yeah, this is hard. These are kind of obscure.
All right, here is mystery voice number four.
Have you ever had a single moment's
John.
Thought about
John.
My responsibilities?
That is Jack Nicholson.
That is Jack Nicholson from The Shining. Yes, it is.
Man, and I am
Lindsay,
like
you
crazy.
Are well. Wait a minute. You're about to take the Curtis, which I don't know if you've ever done before. The Curtis is where you don't score at all. So there's a lot to play for here.
Don't embarrass yourself, Lindsay. Mystery voice number five.
Switzer won the Super Bowl. Jimmy
John
built
John.
That is Keyshawn.
Keyshawn Johnson is the correct answer, and Lindsay completely shut out. Wow, what a terrible way for your streak to end,
I know,
Lindsay.
That's rough. You know, somebody else has got to win, though. I got to share the wealth.
By the way, 40 years since The Shining came out. 40 years.
Great
and
movie.
And the reviews for it were terrible when it opened. Terrible.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Yep.
Fast track. Movie.
All right, John.
All right, Mace. Casino owner Derek Stevens has announced that he will give away 1,000 free flights to Las Vegas from 24 major U.S. cities to coincide with his plans to reopen two downtown Las Vegas properties, the D Las Vegas and Golden Gate Hotel Casino, both opening on June 4th. Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak has said that casinos in Nevada can reopen next Thursday, a week from today, for the first time since COVID-19. Many of Vegas's casinos are launching campaigns to lure customers. Some are offering free discounts, free parking. Others have gotten rid of the resort fee. But Stevens is going even bigger. He's calling his promo Keep America Flying, and he says it's intended to help stimulate tourism. Entrants can book a seat by signing up at the D.com on a first-come, first-served basis. Now, you don't have to stay at one of his properties if you get one of the free flights. You can stay anywhere you want. So here's my question. Will Stevens make money or lose money on these 1,000 flights?
You know, I think he'll probably make money. Flights are so cheap to Vegas right now. Like, you can fly LAX to Vegas for $43 round trip.
Really?
$43 round trip. I'm sure that the casinos are subsidizing airlines so that they can make this cheap. So I'm guessing getting people into town is half the battle. I bet you this guy makes money. And by the way, the great thing about the downtown casinos is they play single and double deck blackjack, which allows you to do your best to count. Have you ever counted cards, John?
I've tried, I know it's not, yeah.
I know how to count aces and faces, so I can tilt things a little bit in my favor. But you can't do that in a six-deck machine. A six-deck shoe at the big casinos. But single-deck and double-deck downtown, it does work. Yeah, I think he probably makes a little money on this.
Lindsay, what do you think? Does he make money or lose money?
I agree. I think that Mason's right because I've seen flights, even like flights from Cleveland to Vegas are as cheap. They're less than $100. So I feel like it's obviously an incentive, kind of in the same way that they give, you know, they take those senior citizens on those bus trips up to Canada to go gamble in the casinos like Niagara Falls and Windsor and stuff like that over if you're in one of like the outlying Great Lakes states. So I think it's similar to that. And I mean, you get people into a casino and they're spending money and everything's so expensive. I'd imagine he's got to make a profit.
Cleveland to Vegas right now, $113 round trip.
Round trip?
Yep.
Well, you know, one thing they say is that I have a friend of mine who works there and he said, I said, if I owned a casino or a hotel, what are my biggest revenue streams? And he said, the number one is your rooms. So they're going to finally get those back. And he said, number two is your restaurants and clubs, you know, where they charge you $18 for a drink, and those clubs are all packed. So it'll be – Funch, do you think those clubs are going to fill back up next week?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can see how people around the country are dealing with the pool parties and stuff like that. They're already back at the pool parties, and Vegas is known for pool parties, and they'll be back, man.
Yeah,
the train has left the station. Health be damned.
And by the way, if you get a drink at one of those Vegas pools, it's like $20.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the food's crazy expensive, too. I remember when I went there for a work trip back in, I want to say it was like January, maybe December. And I barely left my room, and I'm not a drinker. And my expenses for just like my meals for, you know, regular breakfast, lunch, dinner, I think my expenses turned out to be something like $5,000 for 4 or 5 days. Just because it's so expensive there.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, like Mace, remember when you and I were younger, you could, especially in the summer when it was 100 degrees, you could go get a hotel room in Vegas for like $29.
Cheap. Yeah.
Now, my friend says they don't discount the rooms in the summer anymore because they can fill them up. And he said the average room at a high-end Las Vegas hotel is running close to $400, even in June and July. So we'll see when they open up. They're going to open up in a week from today, and it should be some of them. I guess are going to soft open this weekend, and it'll be interesting to see if people flock back in there.
Yeah,
they're
going
to put plastic up between like at a poker table. There's going to be plastic partitions between all the players.
Yeah, I mean the whole thing with this virus now is I think it's just kind of survival of the smartest.
Right, and you should be aware of your age. You know, if you're in one of the target groups, maybe play it safe. But if you're not, maybe get back to your life. That seems to be what people are doing.
All right, Funch.
Fast track.
I'll do another one here. How about this, John? This is one that you can really work at. While many seniors have been forced to wait out the COVID-19 breakouts in isolation, some retirees have managed to find connection and comfort through the airwaves. Radio Recliner is an online radio station hosted exclusively by elderly DJs from assisted living communities across the U.S. Project launched by a marketing firm back in April means keeping lonely seniors entertained and optimistic during the pandemic. Radio Recliner has a team of 18 senior DJs where listeners submit song requests and ask the host to broadcast audio messages and shout outs to friends and family members. John, this is just for you.
All right.
Wonder what this might sound like if old guy John was a DJ at Radio Recliner.
Coming up next, Pat Boone with Riddles in the Sand. And then we've got the Lennon Sisters. And they're singing the Daffodil Song. And then after that, what's his name? George Burns! George Burns has an excellent, excellent new song. I'm not sure what the hell the words are, but, Line! As, I already played that song! Don't tell me it. Okay, I found it. Here it is. This is the Osmond Brothers. And they all sing, and what the hell ever happened to the Osmond Sisters? That's what I'd like to know. And tune in tomorrow when we've got an old Abbott and Costello bit, and we'll play it on the old turntable. I know it's not a 45. Shut up. What's the call letters of this station anyway?
Bravo.
We had to do a legal ID. You're listening to old guy radio, and if you don't like it, go ahead.
I would love to be a DJ on old guy radio.
You would be fantastic.
I would like to apply for a job. In the pandemic, they can't tell that I'm not old, right?
You're right. They would have no idea. It's called Radio Recliner, and it's on YouTube.
Hey, as you in a recliner while I'm doing the show. And it's the lazy boy. And if I fall asleep, I need a long song so I can take a nap and come back.
And, oh, God.
Radio recliners.
Never get
idea.
Tired of that impression, ever. Never
so
get tired.
Somebody suggested that you and I do an entire hour of Sophie and the Old Guy.
Oh, yeah.
And don't explain anything. Just do it. Okay. You know, and so we one day, if this pandemic drags on much longer, that could be the bit.
That could maybe be a segment. Segment. I don't know about an hour.
Lindsay's head would actually explode if we did that.
That's a fantastic idea. I would love to do a show with my daddy.
Hey, what in the hell? It's a talking dog! The dog is speaking! I knew it.
Who are you? Who are you?
I knew a talking dog in 1927, and I took her to the Yankee game, and we saw Beavers!
Oh, my gosh.
All right. More Fast Track coming up next for you, Mason Ireland, 7th
and ESPN. Tomorrow night, Pat Boone's whole album.
Okay. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hi, rolling on with Fast Track in Ireland. It's to you.
Fast Track.
Okay, guys, there have been a lot of old games broadcast on TV during the pandemic. Many of those have been upsets. I have a list of the most famous upsets in sports history.
Okay.
I'll describe the upset. You guys only need to name the winner. Your name is your buzzer. So, Lindsay, you can play. Funch, you can play. Mason, you can play. Here we go. This upset happened in 1990. The eventual winner came in as a 42-1 underdog in Tokyo, but he knocked out undefeated and undisputed 37-0 Funch.
Buster Douglas.
Buster
being
Douglas
Mike Tyson.
Is the winner. Yep, he beat Mike Tyson in the 10th round to become the heavyweight champion of the world.
Damn.
Funch leads 1-0. Okay. Upset number two. Although no player on this team batted over 300 for the season, they pulled off a pair of upsets to win the World Series. First, they upset the heavily favored Mets.
Mason.
Mace.
Dodgers.
1988 Dodgers is absolutely correct. Then they even upset the more heavily favored Oakland A's.
Oakland A's, yeah.
Although Oral was clearly the best player, it was Kirk Gibson's home run. All right, 1-1 between Mason and Funch. All right. This upset happened in 2007. It came over a team that was undefeated and a 12.5 Funch.
Giants beat the Patriots in Super Bowl.
Giants beat the Patriots.
Wow.
Very good, Funch.
And I was at that game.
And Funch just beat you to it anyway. All right, Funch, 2-1. This upset happened to a team that was 34-0 and had defeated all of its opponents by an average of 24 points per game. Featuring stars like Larry Johnson and Greg Anthony, they were considered a lock to win the NCAA tournament.
Mason.
Mace.
It was UNLV was the loser.
Correct.
Duke was the winner.
Duke was the winner. You were at that game, too,
I was
right?
at that game also, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Funch 2, Mason 2. Lindsay, you alive out there?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, just kind of listening in.
Okay, well, this...
All right. Listening in for one
just,
I might
just
possibly
monitoring
know.
Monitoring the situation.
Right. Yeah. I guarantee that you know this one, Lindsay.
Oh,
and this
geez.
Is the last one, so it's worth 2.5. All right, here it is for all the marbles. This upset was pulled off by a team that featured Dave Silk, Rob McClanahan, and Buzz Schneider. One team had won every gold medal game in this sport at the Olympics since 1960, but this group beat the unbeatable team, then
Mason.
Beat Finland, Mace.
It would have been the U.S. Olympic hockey team?
Correct. The Miracle on Ice, 1980.
Yeah.
And Steve
nice.
Mason is your winner, coming from behind.
Whew. That was tough.
And I am 0-2 today.
You have taken two Curtises on the day after
hey,
you
they,
knocked
they gotta
off
balance
everybody.
Balance each other out, you know?
Right? Yeah, you have. You went from the penthouse to the outhouse in one
That's
day.
That's right.
All right, let's finish with this. Maintaining a healthy lifestyle, exercise regimen, and diet is difficult in the best of times, and it's become that much harder in the wake of the pandemic. With gyms shut down, many Americans have turned to junk food and late-night snacks to calm their nerves over the past few months.
Like
while
donuts.
While college students have long fought to keep off the infamous freshman 15, adults of all ages are now swearing off what is dubbed the COVID-15. In fact, according to a new survey of 2,000 Americans, 1 in 2, 49%, say they are afraid they'll never get their pre-quarantine body back. Two-thirds of Americans say COVID-19 has completely messed up their plans for a healthy lifestyle in 2020. Many Americans falling back on unhealthy habits. A third are drinking more alcohol. A full half of respondents have already given up hopes on achieving a summer body this year. John, have you noticed friends and family getting larger? Have you noticed yourself getting larger?
I've been drinking a lot more, but I haven't gotten bigger. My ideal playing weight is 185. I weighed myself this morning, and I was 185.5.
Wow.
Now, I know you have been fighting the battle. Where do you currently stand?
Right now, I am battling the COVID-7. I am up 7 pounds during this pandemic, much of it coming from donuts. But I'm still working out. I'm still doing my yoga every day. I'm still doing some weight training, and I'm off the donut bandwagon at
that
least for now. So I'm up 7 so far during the pandemic. Lindsay, how about you?
I'm about the same. I've weighed myself a few times, and I mean, aside from me not being like running long distances, I've still been able to do yoga and my Jillian Michaels workouts. So I think, like I said, my whole problem is snacking, and I just bought more fruit and I'm trying not to buy as much candy because that's my biggest problem.
Fudge, yeah. Are you up, down, or neutral?
I don't know my weight because my fiance refuses to have a scale in the house, so I don't know how much I gained or lost, but I've been drinking a lot more alcohol almost every weekend.
Yeah.
And,
what's an interesting game to play is walk down your street where people put their trash out on trash day and
yep.
count the number of empty liquor bottles that have piled up.
Yeah.
It's comical.
Well, and weed use is at an all-time high.
I would think, yeah, because people are just sitting around with nothing to do.
By the way, I've got an update on the marathon style of our friend Sue Kalinske. She runs 1 minute, then walks 30 seconds. Runs 1 minute, walks 30 seconds. And she does that for an entire marathon.
I always do that when I take a break from long distance running to like get back on the horse. It works very well.
And she was able to do it.
Good for Sue. I don't see me and you finishing any marathons.
No, not at all. Never going to happen for me. Although I always joke with her, I say, I can run for a minute and then walk for 30 seconds. That's not even running a marathon.
Yeah, John Chin, who we work with, runs a lot of marathons.
He runs ultra marathons. John has run 100-mile races.
Jeez.
Which is just incredible. I mean, he's rail thin.
Dead.
Yeah, 100. Imagine running 100 miles. That is just crazy. But he does it.
He's ran the LA Marathon every year.
Oh, has he really?
Since the start.
Wow. Yeah, no, John is he is a finely tuned athlete to be able to pull that off.
Okay, Mace, before we end Fast Track, I have an ethical question for you.
Okay.
I just got a text, a very kind and nice text, so I don't feel right outing him, but I'll leave it up to you as to whether or not, I don't know if he's still listening, okay, but I'll leave it up to you as to whether or not we should tell him, and you tell me if this is something or nothing, okay? Mm-hmm. The text was from your not-stepdad, Leo. He really enjoyed the old guy bit.
Yeah.
So he sent me a text that said, "That was great," with a thumbs up emoji. Okay?
Nice.
The thumbs up emoji is a black guy.
What?
You know, like if I get, like when I get a text from James Worthy, I'm sure he doesn't know. I'm sure he just was looking for, you know how you can change the color of the skin on a,
right,
you know,
right.
Leo, for people who are listening, is not black. He's a white guy.
Yeah, white guy.
So that's an honest mistake, obviously. But
obviously.
Tell him, or is it kind of funny?
Well, I think you've just told him. He's listening right now.
Leo, you got to switch to the other thumb.
Yeah, do the white guy thumb.
Unless you want to be like James Worthy. That's exactly the thumbs up that Worthy sends me when
you
I text him and say, "Hey, are we playing tomorrow?" And I get the black thumbs up from Worthy.
Old people and their technology. They're so adorable.
As the resident black guy on the show, do you find this funny or insulting?
I find that very funny. I'm sure he pushed the wrong button or, you know, something on an iPhone.
And Leo, I was touched by the text. Thank you. He sent me a thumbs up. That was great. Thumbs up emoji. I sent him a thank you emoji with two white hands. And he wrote, "You had both of us in stitches."
Excellent.
So there you go. Thank you, Leo.
All right. Coming up next for you. Oh, it's time, L.A. It is time. You know, it's funny, the May Gray is on tonight, so we won't necessarily see the sunset.
But I have breaking news to share when Sliwa comes on.
Oh, good. But you know the sunset is there, because you will hear Sliwa deliver for some period of time. Oh, wait. Yeah, so that's coming up next for you. I got a text from another game named Allen, so that screwed me up. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, it is time, people. Time for sunset. Sliwa at sunset. He's back. I'm always surprised when he's back.
Like, fireplace is on, by the way. Fireplace is on.
I always think they're going to pull the plug on this thing. But no,
you never know. You never know.
They haven't yet. By the way, I have breaking news for the two of you.
Yeah, what is it?
I have been assigned my day of punishment, the day I have to do both the morning show and then come back and do Mason in Ireland. It will be a week from tomorrow, June 5th, next Friday. I'm pulling the elusive 7-hour double.
Oh,
6
is brutal.
To 10 a.m. But it's good it's on a Friday because then I
it's lucky,
you know,
on a Friday there.
And then Travis Rogers gets a 3-day. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Travis beat me in golf again. And so I have to do the double shift and he gets a day off. So it'll be a week from Friday, June 5th.
John, how close did you say that match was? Was it pretty close?
After 10 holes, Alan, it was dead even.
Oh, okay.
And then I fell apart like a bad zone defense. He carved me up like LeBron carves up the Pistons, man. Come on. I lost 11, 12, 13, 14, and it was over. Mm. And so it was well-earned. But Travis is a much better golfer than me. I needed everything to go right, and it just didn't. I mean, that's okay. I don't mind doing the morning show. I like those guys.
If you could have any day, Friday's a good day to do it.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, better than doing it on a Monday, because then you're stuck with the hangover for the rest of the week.
Yep.
Mace, if you had to rank today's show, where does it rank?
Today.
Honestly, I think I think this is top five. I'm not sure if I'm going to say it's the best. John, what do you think? I think it's top five all time.
Well, it's definitely top five of quarantine.
Top five, definitely top five of quarantine. Maybe the best quarantine show, but only top five all time. How about that?
No, it's
Sleeve, well, what is your best ever show?
My best show ever?
Yeah, best show ever.
What happened? What would you would consider to be your best show ever?
Maybe you had recorded three interviews in advance.
Like, you had the whole thing in
definitely,
the can, so you went across the street and had a cocktail?
I listened to the whole show from the restaurant, just having drinks. Definitely a Lakers talk. I'm just trying to think.
Who's the biggest Lakers guest you've ever had?
Who have you had?
Did you ever get Kobe?
Never got Kobe, no.
Did you ever have LeBron?
You got those guys on Media Day.
Got them on Media Day, but not specifically like they were calling in for the show or anything like that.
What's the biggest Laker guest that you've had on the Sleewood Sunset Show?
All right, let me just try and think here.
Bill
so
Arm?
Current players.
Was it Bill Arm?
It was Arm. That's the one. That's the one.
Tanya Ganguly.
No, Tanya, I still haven't gotten her. Trudell.
Turner.
Trudell was the biggest.
Trudell
was the biggest one.
No, he's a great guy.
Okay, there's the former players. So Ori, Worthy.
You ever have Shaq?
No, never had Shaq.
What about Magic?
Never had Magic.
Well,
I need your help, John. John, I need your help.
Here's the thing, Alan. We've had Magic several times, and Mason doesn't remember any of the appearances. So,
I do not. I do not recall any.
How do you not remember Magic?
Mason was insisting that he had never interviewed Magic in his entire time in L.A., and Funch just found two different interviews and played clips of Mason asking Magic questions. And Mason goes, oh, must have just forgot. So chances are you've had one of those guys, Sliwa, you just don't remember it.
No, I mean, listen, some of the former players, Nick Van Exel, I'm just kind of trying to think off the top of my head. Obviously, I mentioned this.
Jamal
Wilkes a few times on the show. No, a lot of young players, so the
Smush.
Caruso.
Smush Parker?
No Smush.
Smush. Huh?
Lonzo, Ingram.
Oh, those
Kuzma.
Are good. Yeah, those are good. They're very... They were
young.
From the dark
period. Alan, have you ever had LeVar on the show?
You know, LeVar came in one time, and who was he on with? It was actually both his sons, not Lonzo. It was LaMelo.
And LaMelo?
Yep, exactly. Both of them came on for, I don't know, it was like a 7-minute segment or something along those lines. It was weird because Lamar came in, and it was just to promote them, but then before you know it, he was doing – I think he was on – maybe it was Sedano at the time that was doing evenings. I can't remember. Or not evenings, but before Lakers talk. But I've never had him – did you guys have him on?
No, yeah, we never did.
No. No, of course we did.
Oh, did we?
LeVar?
I do not remember LeVar. Remember LeVar being on the show.
Yeah.
None of this – stuff sticks in my head.
Right. That's very funny.
How was he when he was on?
He was excellent.
Yeah.
And you actually complained about your shoes, and he said it wasn't.
Oh, you're right. I did complain about my shoes because I never got them.
When am I getting my shoes? And LeVar said they were in the mail.
I had to go to the credit card company and dispute the charge and say I never got the shoes, and they eventually reversed the charge. But I never did get those shoes. I bought my Zo2s like day one, the day he was drafted, and never got the shoes.
All right, so the natives are getting restless. I'm hearing from people. They want to get to what they all came for. Sliwa, the how many guests question tonight, the over-under mace is 2.5.
Two and a half.
I'm going to go last night.
I'm going to go the under on guests tonight. Under 2.5.
Lindsay?
I'm going to say under as well.
I will go over and take a shot that Sliwa's bringing a guest an hour in. Because he's got the 6 o'clock hour, 7 o'clock hour, the 8 o'clock hour. Sliwa, how many guests tonight?
Two guests tonight, guys.
Two guests.
Okay.
Two guests.
All right. Now, how many from The Athletic?
How many from The Athletic?
The over-under is 1. What do you think?
Last night, he had an Athletic guy last night, right? No, he didn't. I'm going to say.
Oh, he did.
Oh, did he?
Didn't you? Alan?
Yeah, I did. I had Joe Varden.
You did. Okay, I'm going to say I'm going to take the under.
You don't think he has one?
I don't think he has anybody from the Athletic.
I'm going to take the over.
I'm with Lindsay. I think Alan's going back-to-back nights with an Athletic guest. Alan, how many guests from the Athletic?
Mason, nothing.
Yes!
Wow. So Mason got that one. Mason got that one. Why, just out of curiosity, what happened for Athletic to get the, which is great. It's fantastic that it's always the Athletic that we're looking for.
Yeah.
And I would be lying to you if I didn't say every time I open up the app for the Athletic, it's now in my head saying, well, should I bring somebody on from the Athletic or should I not?
We're in your head.
But what was, did I just have, do I have this run with the Athletic? I just always
you
bring
had
somebody.
I
don't think
run. You
knew, but you had like a Cal Ripken-esque streak of bringing in
like
people from the Athletic.
Every night, the Athletic.
All right,
by the way, let's just say the Athletic is a great site, and subscribe to it. They're great writers. They're fantastic, and they're on Sliwa's show almost every night.
All right, finally, the one everyone awaits anxiously. How many interviews in the can? How many has Alan pre-taped? The over-under Mace is a half.
A half.
A half. So does Sliwa have an interview in the can tonight, or is he going live for both interviews?
I am going to go over the half. I'm going to say at least one is in the can.
I have a feeling no canned interviews tonight. I think he's doing the whole show live. Lindsay, what do you think?
I'm going to say he's got to have one in the can.
All right. Sliwa, how many interviews in the can tonight?
Sorry, John. One in the can.
Yes!
Oh, one in
I
the
went
can.
Three. I went three for, or is that right. Four for four?
You did go four for four. I think I might have gone 0 for four.
There's one more. There is one more question.
There's one more. Yeah, there is one more question.
Mm-hmm.
Have we heard of Sliwa's guests? In other words,
longball.org.
Have we heard of both guests Sliwa will have, or does he have someone that we have no idea who it is? Mace, the over-under is one. What do you think?
Can I pay a compliment, first of all?
Sure.
I thought your interview last night with Peter Dingbat from the New York Times was fantastic.
Well, I appreciate you also, too, texting me Pete's number and making that intro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Mace,
have we heard
of both guests?
I'm going to say no, we have not.
Lindsay, have we heard of both guests?
I'm going to say no, we've only heard of one.
I, for some reason, have a good feeling about this. I'm going for the Curtis. I think I've heard of both guests. Alan, who are the guests?
Okay, one of them, a frequent guest of the Mason and Ireland show, Bob Nightingale.
Okay, Bob Nightingale, right? We know him.
So love Bob.
Yeah, the second one will determine it.
Hey, Al.
Okay, the second one.
Oh, yes.
I'm not feeling good. He's already starting to use that apologetic voice.
This is good.
Does he deliver your newspaper or something? He's the guy that stole your laundry.
Just real quick, before I answer, what happens if we have, let's just say hypothetically, in 60 days from now, baseball is going on.
Yeah.
Lakers are in the middle of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Will this just
NFL
still be the same
thing?
NFL get ready. Is this basically doesn't matter about sports after that? It's just this segment right here is going to be dedicated to who's on. Is it in the can,
Alan,
and
I got some bad news
with it?
I got some bad news for you. If we get all those sports back, this show is canceled. We'll be running games every night for a month.
By the way, and here's
I'll be doing the post-game show.
Here's the thing, Alan. I believe if Jim Nantz were here, he would say it better than me. This is a tradition unlike any other. The five questions for Sliwa.
Yeah. Now, Alan, who is the second guest? People are dying to know.
Okay, Bleacher Report.
Okay, I got
Bleacher
a chance.
Bleacher Report.
I got a shot here.
Yeah.
Eric Pincus.
I got it! I avoided the Curtis.
John got it. John's in.
Pincus is a great guy.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, well, congratulations. That's a nice-looking lineup tonight.
Now,
I've heard of them.
Here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. Did you hear Max in Sherman Oaks and the limerick he wrote about you earlier in the show?
I did not, and I look forward to hearing it.
Fun.
I have a feeling
it's going to be
great.
Do you have it, or do you need a minute?
I have it.
Okay. All right, so without further ado, one of our callers, Max in Sherman Oaks, inspired by my ability, I have a unique ability to write limericks.
One of the best.
Almost one of the best. On spec.
Yeah.
Like somebody says, write a limerick about blank, and I can do it. Max took it upon himself to write a limerick about Alan Sweewa. All right, Sweewa, we're going to ask you to rate this on a scale of 1 to 10. This is Max in Sherman Oaks earlier in the show.
At night, Alan Sweewa has a show. If anyone listens, it's hard to know. He gives a good try and is a nice guy, but he's talking to himself, don't you know?
That's not bad at all. That's not bad.
I think that's a solid 9, don't you?
I would give it a 7.5. 7.5.
I think you're selling Max short. I thought it was.
Yeah, no, I thought that was really, really good. Really good. It's not mean like the one you did for Ireland. That was a mean one.
And it was hurtful.
Ireland demolished me, okay? It called me a stiff.
It was mean, and it kind of cut to the core. It was
the one where you said you wanted Spiro back instead of John.
Yeah, you wanted me fired, and you wanted Spiro back. And
by the way,
that's too rough.
By the way, how about when I said 9 times? Nah, I don't think I should read this. all I heard was Lindsay and Mason. Read it.
Read it.
Read it.
Read it. Read it.
It didn't even have limerick form. It was just like five mean sentences.
Right. He wrote a backwards limerick. He didn't. You're supposed to like.
I still don't know what I did wrong.
Yeah. You have to rhyme lines 1 and 4 and 2 and 3, and you rhymed like 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. It would made like no sense.
Just 5 mean things is what you said. All right. So that concludes the first segment of the show. What comes up next is Alan reads something.
And then, did you prepare a game tonight?
I did not do a game.
Okay.
I did not do a game tonight.
You got to bring it, man. What are you contributing to this segment?
Listen, I thought I can't gauge these games yet. I don't know if you guys do them and are like, these are the worst games ever. Or
they are the worst games ever.
They are the worst.
Okay, does that mean they're bad enough to where I should continue doing them?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't really even prepare them. He just kind of Googles things and goes, as he goes along.
He just gets a list and says, oh, let's make a game out of this.
All right, so coming up next, Alan will read something. And then
Mount Rushmore?
And then a Mount Rushmore of we'll find out what the Mount Rushmore is coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on. As we get closer to sunset, Slee was here. And this is the point at which Sleewa reads something. Sleewa?
Thank you, Mace. Crosstalk on 710 is powered by Power Pro and their cross-trade services, servicing plumbing plus heating and air. Great power specials right now, $99 drain cleaning or $59 AC tune-up, which includes a safety inspection and a temporary disinfect. For your HVAC system, make an appointment today. Call 800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. What if that's the background music for all our reads on the station?
Oh, I mean, I think that
should be exclusively for Power Pro because Power Pro is old school and reliable and solid. Like
there it is.
Sound.
Yep. There it is.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we're going to try something we've never tried before. Tomorrow's show is going to be called Open Phones America. Open Phones America. Ask anything, say anything. We're going to take your phone calls for an entire 3.5 hours. Well, 2.5 hours. 2 hours. It's getting shorter. 2 hours. Actually, there's a guest. Hour and a half. So we're going to take your phone calls for an hour and a half tomorrow for Open Phones America. Ask anything, say anything. And I mean say anything. I mean ask anything. That's tomorrow on Mason in Ireland. Have you ever tried something like that, Sleewa?
I was going to say, have you guys ever done that? Or is this the first time in your guys' show to go that long of just taking calls?
I think that's a first, John, isn't it?
I can't remember. Well, Mason
2.5 hours of calls
for like 20 years. But
now I love them. During the pandemic, they're fantastic.
That's a horrible idea, though.
It will be entertaining.
Rush Limbaugh does it, and he has like 400 stations.
And Lindsay,
Rush Limbaugh does it, so we should do it. Okay.
This is a time to experiment, Lindsay. Have you not gotten all the memos? This is a time to experiment.
What do you think we've been doing? We've been doing nothing but experimenting.
Right, but we've never tried this. We've never tried Open Phones America.
in
ask
that case,
anything, say anything.
In that case, I will let you guys do that, and you tell me after a couple of segments what you think of Open Phones America, and we'll go from there. Sure, you'll
so who came up with a name? Who came up with a name?
I just came to me.
Genius.
Just came to me.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, Open Phones America. No matter where you are in America. In fact, we've got listeners all over the world. No, it's Open Phones World. Anywhere.
Open Phones International.
Open Phones International. I love that. Open Phones International. So, Sliwa, who's at fault? The Major League Baseball owners or players? What's your take?
Wouldn't you much rather point the finger at the owners?
Well,
yeah,
the owners,
we are.
The owners should get the blame on this.
And they never do, right, John? Like, that never happens where – and I know it's different. It's not like you have microphones or cameras in front of owners, so they completely stay out of the spotlight, and strategically they do it. But you guys are scaring me now, because who was it that you guys had on earlier? Funches was mentioned.
Dallas Braden.
Bob Dingbat.
Yeah, we had Dingbat yesterday. We had Dallas Braden today.
Did he say what did he say? 30% chance he thinks 30%. Baseball will come back?
Yeah, 30% chance baseball will be back in July. Now, what's interesting, though, is I think there's something different in the air out there. Now, I put a poll up, and I've got a lot of baseball fans, obviously, on my Twitter timeline, because I do a lot of baseball. And 1,400 votes on this poll. Who is at fault for the stalemate between Major League Baseball owners and players? Who do you think is the lead? I'll tell you that the owners are the lead, but what do you think the percentage is?
Percentage? I'll go 55%. I'll go 60% owners.
I think he's about right, maybe a little higher even, 65-70% owners.
75% say the owners are at fault. Maybe this time players have positioned this the correct way. We talked about this earlier, Sliwa. So NFL players, there's going to be reduced revenue because maybe there won't be fans in seats. We don't know the answer to that yet. But are NFL players taking a haircut? No. Mm-hmm. NBA players, they are being paid a pro rata share of their salary. So they get paid for the games they play. They didn't get paid for the games that were canceled. Why should baseball players settle for anything less? If you play 82 games, you should get 82 games worth of your salary. What is unreasonable about that?
Greed. And owners know that they can probably, to some extent, get away with it. And owners can, like I mentioned, they could just stay in the background. They don't have to show face. They don't have to say anything. Have you guys heard anything from any of the owners? And I'm assuming strategically there is zero conversation from the owners, but you've definitely heard conversations from the players or Tony Clark. I think that I hope this too, Mason. I know for the most part, after the strike, the 94-95 strike, didn't players just get, I mean, every time you went to games or you saw the signs or whatever, there were all the fingers were pointed at the players. I hope this doesn't happen again.
Well, here's the thing. It was a terrible loss for the sport, and it would be a terrible loss for the sport. You know, the idea would be if the dates floating around were correct, and baseball spring training 2.0 would start June the 10th, which now seems like a pipe dream, June the 10th, right? We're just that's like 10 days from now, and baseball starting before the 4th of July, baseball would actually be the first team sport back, the first major team sport back. I know there have been some other sports, but that would be such an unbelievable opportunity to showcase the game at a time when nothing else is going on. Ultimately, the NBA playoffs are coming. Ultimately, the NFL season is coming. Ultimately, college football is coming. But for a few weeks, the only show in town would be Major League Baseball. If owners blow this, and if they miss this opportunity, they will have damaged the sport I won't say irreparably, because it obviously survived in 94, but they will have damaged it dramatically.
Well, it's something, too. If, let's say, NBA and NHL do come back, and yep. Major League Baseball, and let's say MLS does some stuff as well, and Major League Baseball is the only one that doesn't come back, and everybody's under the same circumstances, right? It's, I don't want to say it's an equal playing field, but it kind of is. Everybody's affected by the pandemic. I mean, Mace, you don't think this is going to have an effect next season? You don't think it's going to have an effect in the next 2 years, three years?
Yeah, it will. It will if they don't play.
It will if they don't play.
But more importantly, Sliwa, we have 1 minute left in the show. So in honor of Max and Sherman Oaks, have
you've
written
got one.
a tribute limerick about you, Sliwa.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
So
thank
it's
you.
A tribute.
Yeah, this will end. It's a tribute. This will end the Crosstalk segment for today. Are you ready, Alan, for my tribute?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sliwa's middle name is Eli. He's a sometimes lonely guy. He puts shows in the can. How will he find a fan? Let's hope his ratings don't die. What do you think?
Thank you, John. Not an unbelievable.
I like that.
It's 6:24 now. It's a great way to send me off.
Yeah,
we
no,
hit the
it really
door.
Is. 6:24, we hit the door. Tomorrow, Open Phones International. First time ever on Mason and Ireland. See you then. Sliwa's next, 710 ESPN.